بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الشيطان لكم عدو فاتخذوه عدوا، إنما يدعو حزبه ليكونوا من أصحاب السعير. صدق الله العظيم. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: إن الشيطان يجري من الإنسان مجرى الدم، أو كما قال صلى الله عليه وسلم. Respected friends and elders, we are barely 1 month away from the month of Ramadan. Just over 3 weeks have passed since the crescent of Shawwal was sighted, the day of Eid had dawned upon us. But we find almost all of us, if we inspect our lives, then there is a level of retrogression that has occurred. How we conducted ourselves in Ramadan was different, and what is happening after Ramadan, things have changed. Why is it that in the month of Ramadan, we find it easier to be obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, fulfill the commands of Allah, follow the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, exert ourselves in ibadah, abstain from sin, spend more time in the masjid? The basics of our deen become easy. And with the departure of Ramadan, then many of us go back to our old ways. Sometimes it is instant. Instantly a man has gone back to his old ways. Sometimes it is a gradual retrogression. What is it? We call it the barakat of Ramadan. What is it in essence that makes it so easy for us in Ramadan, and outside of Ramadan we find it's a different picture? Allama Muhammad Yusuf bin Nuri rahimahullah, who was a great alim and muhaddith of his time, he passed away in the late 70s. He was known as Muhaddithul Asr, the greatest muhaddith, hadith master of his time. He was acknowledged, mashallah, by the Arab world and non-Arab world alike. He used to mention, he says that in Ramadan we find it easy. In Ramadan, to abstain from sin is not as difficult as it is outside Ramadan. In Ramadan, to fulfill the command of Allah is easier. He says, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes care of the three greatest influences upon us. We are influenced in three ways. Number one is the influence of shaitan. And we know that in the month of Ramadan, shaitan is chained. The second is the influence of the nafs, the soul. Shaitan, on one hand, respected friends and elders, we understand and we identify him as an enemy. And Allah mentioned in several verses of Quran, one of which mentions, إِنَّ الشَّيْطَانَ لَكُمْ عَدُوٌ فَاتَّخِذُوهُ عَدُوًا. Indeed, shaitan is your enemy, so take him as your enemy. يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسُ كُلُوا مِمَّا فِي الْأَرْضِ حَلَالًا طَيِّبًا. O mankind, eat whatever is on earth that is pure and halal. وَلَا تَتَّبِعُوا خُطُوَاتِ الشَّيْطَانِ. Don't follow the footsteps of shaitan. إِنَّهُ لَكُمْ عَدُوٌ مُبِينٌ. Indeed, he, meaning shaitan, is an open enemy to you. So shaitan is our enemy. Shaitan is there to influence a person towards Jahannam. إِنَّمَا يَدْعُ حِزْبَهُ. He calls his group and his people to join him in Jahannam. When Allah banished shaitan to Jahannam, shaitan wanted company. So he asked Allah for respite. Give me a chance till the day of Qiyamah. Why? Because he wanted to fill up Jahannam with company. He wanted to take people with him into Jahannam. And that is his lifelong mission and effort. So he is our enemy. In the month of Ramadan, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes care of that. That influence of shaitan is not there. Number two is our nafs. If the nafs is not purified, if the nafs is not reformed, if the nafs is not cleansed, respected friends and elders, then it will always take us towards haram. إِنَّ النَّفْسَ لَأَمَّارَةٌ بِالسُّوءِ. Nafs and the soul will always command you to do wrong. La'ammara, all the time. Our nafs, respected friends and elders, the carnal desire, like we may call it, this is also an enemy. This is also has a great effect on us, plays a great role in influencing us. One hadith mentions, Inna a'da aduwika ma bayna jambayk, aw kama qala sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Again, identifying it as an enemy. Among your greatest enemies, the hadith says, Inna a'da aduwik, is that which is between your bosom. In other words, your nafs and your carnal desire in the heart. That is also our enemy. In Ramadan, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts that under control as well, to the barakat of fasting, starving ourselves, standing up in ibadah at night in Taraweeh, the tilawat of Quran. These things play a role and have a spiritual effect on the soul. And then that part of the soul that is influencing us for wrong is weakened. That nafsa ammara is weakened. Now we find it easier, alhamdulillah, to spend time in the masjid and to abide by the commands of Allah in the month of Ramadan. And the third thing, respected friends and elders, is the enemy, is the environment around us. In Ramadan also the environment changes. In Ramadan, the month of Ramadan has such an effect, even the non-Muslim is aware. Even he knows that it is the fasting month of the Muslim. If somebody mischievously jokes with a Muslim in the workplace that come and join me for my meals, the fellow non-Muslim workers will caution him, will tell him, don't you know it's his fasting month? Have some respect for his fasting month. The month of Ramadan has an effect on the environment around us as well. And we as insan are affected by the environment. We are affected by the places we visit. We are affected by the company we keep. When it is hot outside, respected friends and elders, everybody feels hot. When it's raining, we all get wet. Everyone will take effect from that environment. Places we will visit will have an effect on us. These three things Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took care of in the month of Ramadan. This is a lesson for us, that if we can somehow make an effort to control these three after Ramadan, then inshallah we can maintain some high level of spirituality as well. Then inshallah we will find it easier to fulfill the command of Allah throughout the year. We are Muslims throughout the year. Islam and the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is not only for Ramadan. It's for Sha'aban and Shawwal as well, and every other month of the year. After Ramadan departs, then the shayateen are released, like we know. There are several ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that guides us and shows us how to protect ourselves from the effect of shaytan. The list is actually very long. So many guidelines from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We will start with the verse in Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned, as I quoted earlier, O people, eat from what is on earth, halal and tayyiban, what is pure, what is halal and what is pure and wholesome. وَلَا تَتَّبِعُوا خُطُوَاتِ الشَّيْطَانِ And don't follow the footsteps of shaitan. This shows us that there's a direct link between what we consume and what we will be doing. If you will not eat halal and tayyiban, shaitan will find it easier to influence us. Because this verse is telling us, if you eat halal and tayyiban, coupled with that Allah tells us, and then stay away from the khutuwatu shaytan, the footsteps of shaytan. Let's take a note here. Allah didn't say abstain from shaytan, don't follow shaytan. Allah said don't follow the footsteps or the lead of shaytan. Shaytan, respected friends and elders, is old in the game. He's working on insan for years. He knows the tricks. If he tells a person out of the blue, all of a sudden, commit murder, then we understand this is a serious crime. It's a major sin in the court of Allah. It's a serious crime in your country. But shaitan will lead a man on in different ways. First, for example, he will make him look at that wrong. Look at that woman, for example. And then he will put thoughts in his mind about that woman. And then he will be more and more attracted to that woman. This is just one example. And like that, now this person will want to make an effort to acquire that woman and to get to that woman. And then a time comes when he realizes that he can't get to her without committing some kind of wrong and sin, some crime. Even if it be murder, not long in the news, not long ago, respected friends and elders, we had mention of a Muslim living in a foreign land. South African Muslim living in a foreign land. And he ended up, based on what is in the news, he ended up committing murder, killing his own wife. Why? Because he wanted to be with another woman. If shaitan told that person spontaneously, kill your wife, he's not going to do it. But he leads him on gradually. So Allah says, وَلَا تَتَّبِعُوا خُطُوَاتِ الشَّيْطَانِ Don't follow the lead of shaitan also. Sometimes we have this habit, we feel that we are not doing the ultimate crime. We are not doing the ultimate wrong. So it's fine. No, respected friends and elders. إِنَّ مِنْ جَزَاءِ السَّيِّئَةِ السَّيِّئَةُ بَعْدَهَا The punishment Allah gives for committing one wrong is you will follow it up with another wrong. If we justify that sin, we belittle that sin, then after committing that one, it will lead us to another and another and another. And the opposite also applies. وَإِنَّ مِنْ جَزَاءِ الْحَسَنَةِ الْحَسَنَةُ بَعْدَهَا. If you do one good, Allah rewards you by giving you tawfiq to follow it up with another good. Take a step in the right direction, Allah gives you the strength to take the second step in that direction. And if you take the step in the wrong direction, then as a punishment you will be pushed further if you don't regret your sin. If you don't commit if you don't make tawbah and understand what you have done is wrong. So what we consume, respected friends and allies, it starts from the basics. Protect yourself from the onslaught of shaitan by ensuring what we earn is from halal sources. What we buy and consume and eat physically, respected friends and allies, is from halal sources and not from haram. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned in Quran, أُولَٰئِكَ حِزْبُ الشَّيْطَانِ. There are only two groups. The حِزْب of Allah, أُولَٰئِكَ حِزْبُ اللَّهِ, and أُولَٰئِكَ حِزْبُ الشَّيْطَانِ. The group and the army of Allah. And the second is the army and the group or the team of shaitan. If you are not fulfilling the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then automatically we are in another team. We are in the team of shaitan. We are in team shaitan, respected friends and elders. Allah only speaks about two groups. Once the Sahaba radiallahu anhum was seated, and a fellow Sahabi goes past. He was very well built, very fit, mashallah, had a very good body. Sahaba were amazed by his physique. And then they commented, Ya Rasulullah, لو كان هذا في سبيل الله. If only this person was in the path of Allah, meaning he's got such strength, mashallah, and ability, he would be an asset to us if he is used in the path of Allah. The path of Allah is a broad meaning. In that time, they would refer to jihad as the path of Allah. He'll be an asset for us on the battlefield. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam responded to rectify a notion in the minds of Sahaba and a notion in our minds. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam shows us that being fi sabilillah in the path of Allah, or if you want to relabel this in the light of the verse of Quran, being in the group of Allah, the army of Allah, the selected ones of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then there are many other opportunities Allah has given us. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, in kana kharaja yas'a ala awladihi sigaran fahuwa fi sabilillah. If this man left his home today and is going to the marketplace, he's going to the business place to earn an honest livelihood so that he can feed his young children and support them and bring them up, then he is fi sabilillah. In kana kharaja yas'a ala abawayni shaykhayni kabirayn fahuwa fi sabilillah. If he has left his home to go and earn something to support his elderly parents, then he is fi sabilillah. He's already in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. إِنْ كَانَ خَرَجَ يَسْعَى عَلَى نَفْسِهِ يُعِفُّهَا. If he has went out to earn halal livelihood, to support himself with halal and pure livelihood, فَهُوَ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. Then he is also in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Thereafter Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, وَإِنْ كَانَ خَرَجَ يَسْعَى رِيَاءً وَمُفَاخَرَةً. But if he went out to earn with the sole purpose of showing off his wealth, He wants to be part of that of a particular segment in society. He wants to live a particular level of luxury. He wants to wear a particular brand of clothing and drive a particular model of car to show to others. If he wants to do it to show off, to boast, then فَهُوَ فِي سَبِيلِ الشَّيْطَانِ. This person is in fi sabili shaitan. He's in a path of shaitan. Again, respected friends and elders, only two ways. Either the way of Allah or the way of shaitan. Either in the army, in the group of Allah, or team shaitan. So respected friends and elders, when we leave every morning, if we rectify our intention, we will save ourselves from the effort of shaitan. What is meant by he is fi sabili shaitan? What is meant that he left the house with the wrong intention? He's earning to boast and to show off and to misuse his wealth, so to say. Then he is fi sabili shaitan. That means this person has been influenced by shaitan. He has left himself vulnerable to shaitan. Shaitan has taken control of him. Then for a man like that, to read salat is difficult. For a man like that, who has been influenced by shaitan, to spend additional time in the masjid is difficult. For a man like that, to abstain from sin is difficult, because shaitan has influenced him. Like this, respected friends and elders, there are many other deeds mentioned in the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. After analyzing these deeds, a person will realize that it all boils down to the basics. Basics of our deen, respected friends and elders, are there for our protection. Our divine protection by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We learn that when you enter the home, you should make salam. Take the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Say bismillah. Allahumma inni as'aluka khayral mawlaj and the masnoon dua. The hadith says, hadith of Muslim Sharif says, when a person enters his home and he takes the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, shaitan announces to his clan, shaitan announces to the rest of his shayateen, that la mabita lakum, there's no place for you all to stay here. Meaning he has taken the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Before eating, if a man takes the name of Allah, he says, Bismillah, shaitan announces, and he tells his people, la asha'a lakum, there's no food for you all here, you can't eat of this food. And on the other hand, if a person enters his home and doesn't take the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there's no salam when he enters the home, or no other form of dhikr of Allah when he enters, then shaitan invites the rest of his clan. This is a home we can invade. When that family sits down for meals, and they don't take the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the person who's eating doesn't take the name of Allah, shaitan invites the rest, let us come and loot. Let us come and gate crash. Because there's enough food for you here. In a hadith of Abu Dawood Sharif, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was once seated with some sahaba. There was one particular sahabi who was eating and eating and eating. And on his plate, there was one last morsel left. And then he said, Bismillah. And he ate. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam began to laugh. Sahaba asked Nabi of Allah, why are you laughing? He said, this person didn't say Bismillah. Shaitan was eating with him as long as he ate. But when he said Bismillah at the end, shaitan had to run away. So when a person doesn't say Bismillah, shaitan eats with him. What does this mean? Does shaitan get hungry? Does he need cooked food? Does he have to eat? What this would mean, respected friends and elders, is via that food, shaitan is now affecting you. By you not taking Bismillah and eating that food, shaitan has now got more control over you. The hadith says, eat with the right and not the left, because shaitan eats with the left. How often, how common don't we see a person has got one drink in the right hand, food in the left hand, or food in the right hand, drink in the left hand. If he's drinking or eating with the left hand, it's like he's feeding shaitan, respected friends and elders. Again, ask ourselves, does shaitan get hungry? Does he need that food? No, this is for us to understand that by you doing this, you are strengthening the effect of shaitan upon you. When we leave the home, we recite the masnoon dua, Bismillahi tawakkaltu ala Allah, till the end of the dua. One benefit of the dua is, وَتَنَحَّى عَنْهُ الشَّيْطَانِ. When a man leaves the home and he recites this dua, shaitan goes away. Shaitan goes away and announces also and tells his group, there is no way of you to attack this person, he read this dua. It's in the basics, respected friends and elders. When we go into the toilet, before entering the toilet, we make dua, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min al-khubuthi wal-khaba'ith. We are asking Allah to protect us from the effect of shaitan. When we go there, he might affect us. A dua when we enter the masjid also. A'udhu billahi al-azim wa biwajhihi al-kareem wa sultanihi al-qadeem min ash-shaytan ar-rajim. Even in the house of Allah, shaitan can affect you. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would read this dua before entering the masjid. In salah, if a person is not concentrating, if he is looking around in his salah, the hadith has labeled that as ikhtilasun yakhtalisuhu ash-shaytan. That is how shaitan snatches away a portion of your salah. That is how shaitan gets to you in your salah. You are looking around, you have, so to say, you have let down your guard. That opens the door for shaitan to attack you. We are out, respected friends and elders, out and about in the world. And we interact with many people. When a person looks at haram, he looks at the opposite gender. And on hadith mentions, النَظْرُ سَهْمٌ مِنْ سِهَامِ إِبْلِيسِ مَسْمُومٌ. The sight and the gaze is one poisonous arrow of shaitan. How is it a poisonous arrow? If you look at haram, have you shot a poisonous arrow to that person? No. When you look at haram, you have exposed yourself for shaitan to shoot at you. When you look at haram, you have dropped your guard. And now shaitan is able to get to your heart. Because after you capture that picture of that woman, for example, then the thoughts follow in the heart. And sometimes it remains, sometimes it leaves. These are the different advices Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has given us for us to protect ourselves from shaitan. When a person wakes up in the morning and he blows his nose, a simple action, the hadith says, blow your nose when you wake up in the morning. That chases away shaitan and removes the effect of shaitan. When a person wakes up and recites the dua, makes dhikr of Allah, he makes wudu and reads salah. Before he goes to bed, shaitan ties 3 knots on the nape of every man. This is how he gets some kind of control. And if he wakes up and he makes dhikr of Allah, he makes wudu, reads salah, then all those knots are untied. In other words, shaitan will have no effect on this person. But if a person slept the night and never read his salah, In some riwayat, it is understood, he never had Isha Salah and he slept till the morning. Or he slept and never had Fajr Salah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam labeled such a person, ذَاكَ رَجُلٌ بَالَ الشَّيْطَانُ فِي أُذُنِي. That's a man in whose ears shaitan has urinated. Our Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned this in an authentic sahih hadith. We've got no doubt on this. Shaitan urinates in a man's ear, a man like that. But when he wakes up, he feels no wetness. There's no moisture. There's no smell of urine. What is meant by shaitan urinated in the ear? Ulama explain. What is meant here is this person has come under the complete control of shaitan. Shaitan has influenced this person completely. Urinating on a fellow human, respected friends and elders is a despicable act. We don't even tolerate it when a man does it to an animal. Allah save us, it happened to Muslims in Abu Ghuraib and other places, and Allah relieve the suffering of Muslims throughout the dunya. But when were those kuffar able to do it? When they captured them, they chained them, they controlled them, then they were able to do this despicable deed. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is drawing the same picture for us. That a man who didn't read his salat at night, never had Isha and slept till the morning, or never woke up in the morning and never had his Fajr, then he is like that. He, as if he has been captured, chained by shaitan, is in full control of shaitan. So a man like that, when he wakes up in the morning and goes out, then why won't he act like a shaitan also? Why won't he find it easier to obey shaitan? Shaitan has already taken control of him. For us to protect ourselves, respected friends and elders, it's the fundamentals of deen. Every command of Allah, every sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is there for our protection. These are just a few examples I'm giving you from the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Recently I began to collect some of these. It's close to 30 different actions Rasulullah has mentioned. If a man does this, it will protect him from shaitan. If you do that wrong, you are exposing yourself to shaitan. Simple is Ayatul Kursi. When a man recites Ayatul Kursi at night, shaitan can't come near him till the morning. That home in which Quran is recited, shaitan runs away from that home. And if Quran is not recited in a home, then the shayateen invade that home, respected friends and elders. What is meant by it invades? Again, let us understand, shayateen invade those homes and are able to influence and affect the people of those homes. Therefore, then there is no khair in the life. Therefore, then there is no peace and happiness, respected friends and elders. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned, إِنَّ الشَّيْطَانَ لَكُمْ عَدُوٌ. Shaitan is your enemy. Take him to be your enemy. These are a few basic deeds we can do, respected friends and elders, to protect ourselves from shaitan. The second influence was the influence of the nafs. How did the nafs become weak in Ramadan? It became weak because to the barakat, like we said, of fasting, to the barakat of tilawat of Quran, to the barakat of taraweeh, standing up in additional ibadah in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Throughout the year also we are taught there are masnoon days to fast. Fast on a Monday and Thursday, or fast during the middle 3 days of every lunar month, the 13th, 14th and 15th of every lunar month. We are now in the month of Shawwal. The 6th fast of Shawwal also mustahab and recommended. These are ways in which a person's nafse ammara, the carnal desire, will be weakened. Otherwise, respected friends and elders, if that nafs is not controlled, then it will overpower a person, it will begin to ride him. We need to practice restraint. Not that every time there's a desire in the heart, we want to fulfill it. The famous Qasida Burda, Allama Busiri rahimahullah mentions, when nafsu kattifli, the soul, this nafsi ammara, is like a suckling child. In tuhmilhu shabba ala hubbir rida. If you leave the child on the breast, and the child is not weaned, child is neglected like that, then the child will grow up loving breast milk, it will be hard for the child to give up that breast. But wa in tuftimhu yanfatimi. But that same child, if the mother trained the child, and the child was weaned off the breast, the child will wean off. Then a few months later, a few weeks later, also offer the breast to the child, it knows, no, I don't want. It has been weaned. He says the exact same is the effect on the nafs. If you're going to neglect it, anytime you want to do anything, you do it. You don't practice restraint, then it will carry on and on like that. But if you practice restraint, if you wean that nafs off haram, you train yourself to abstain from haram, then inshallah one day you will get control over that. Abdullah bin Mubarak rahimahullah mentions, وَمِنَ الْبَلَاءِ وَلِلْبَلَاءِ عَلَامَةٌ. It's a calamity and a sign of a great calamity. أَلَّا يُرَى لَكَ عَنْ هَوَاكَ نُزُوعُ. That there is no end in sight of your following your desires. If you have reached that stage, that all the time there's something more you want, and more, and more, and more, and you are following your desire one after the other, this is a sign of a great calamity. Al-Abdu Abdu Nafsi fi Shahawatiha. We think we are living in a democratic world. We are all free, no slaves. He says a slave is a slave who has been enslaved by his nafs. That is a slave. He may think he is free, but he has been enslaved by his nafs. Whatever his nafs and desire wants, he is following. So he has become the slave of the nafs. وَالْحُرُّ يَشْبَعُ مَرَّةً وَيَجُوعُ He says a free man, a man who is really free, is a person who has controlled his nafs. Is a person who يَشْبَعُ مَرَّةً He eats to his full sometimes, but is able to abstain on other times. In other words, that a free person is somebody who may fall into sin, but doesn't follow that up with another sin. No, no. We are weak, we are prone to sin. But he practices restraint also. يَشْبَعُ مَرَّةً This is an example he is giving. A free man is a person who eats to his full sometimes. وَيَجُوعُ On other occasions he is able to skip a meal. He can sacrifice that meal for somebody else. That's a sign of a hur, a man who is free. A man who has got izzatun nafs. He's got self-control. He says the same thing here when it comes to sin. You may eat to your full sometimes. Meaning you may fall into that wrong and do that wrong. But on other occasions be able to practice restraint and skip that. Skip that wrong, skip that meal. This is a sign you have not been enslaved by your nafs. And thirdly, respected friends and elders, was the environment. Wherever we go, we will be affected. Alhamdulillah, in our country, in our societies, we've got no shortage of good environments. Whilst on the other hand, there's also no shortage of the bad environment. But let us spend time in the masjid. Let us spend time in good company. Time out in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's a program taking place in the masjid. Attend that program. And bring our children with us. What is happening, respected friends and elders, is sometimes the elderly are there in the masjid. But the son is with him, but he's outside somewhere. Or the son doesn't come with him to the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Doesn't attend that jalsa with the father. Or if he does attend, then he's playing outside or sitting with his friends outside. No, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us these opportunities. Wallahi, respected friends and elders, there are places in this dunya that are deprived of homes of Allah like we have. The amount of masajid we have, the amount of madrasas we have, the amount of programs we have, the amount of jalsas we have. There are places on earth that are deprived of this. Allah has given us a flood, alhamdulillah. As I said, the effect of the environment is such, when it's raining, we all get wet. But to save yourself from the rain, you need to go under the shelter. This is our shelters, the house of Allah, the masjid. The company of a alim, the company of a pious person, going out in jamaat in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These are the shelters for us from the evil around us, respected friends and elders. Follow these guidelines by protecting ourselves from shaitan, controlling the nafs and sticking to the good environment. Allama Yusuf bin Nuri rahimahullah mentions, these are the three things that made it easy for us in Ramadan to be obedient to Allah. If we inshallah adhere to this, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make it easy for us to control ourselves, to abide by the commands of Allah for the rest of the year. Allah give us tawfiq wa akhir da'wana alhamdulillah.